We are two Sundays now past the resurrected Christ, and we celebrated that. But now here we are back now, trying to facilitate and to understand what the resurrection means to us, and how, when Jesus said how we can have life and have it more abundantly. But it's challenging in this old world, right? So that's why we always have to focus on the teachings of Jesus. And through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit, we can receive. But I entitled my message this week, because we are in a world that's either black or white, or is it gray? Or are we in the gray zone? Well, let's think about it. Are you friends? Or have you, or maybe in a committed relationship? And how do you know this? I think it appears today that we're living one of the dilemmas in the 21st century about relationships. The internet is filled with influencers trying to help people navigate this strange new sea called online dating. Now, I know people that have done it, and some of them have done it successful, but some not so good. Because many fish do not necessarily guarantee a great catch. They call that fishing in the internet world, too, but not the kind of fishing that Jesus and the disciples were doing. But I digress. You see, resistance to defining the status of a relationship abounds among those dealing with online dating apps. Fast-paced, ambulant social media, time constraints, and the realities of an unstable future. Now, I love Generation Z, and I think they are living in a murky place because they are committed into relationships, and sometimes they feel comfortable and not comfortable about the complexities of forging a permanent, challenging, impossible, inhibiting relationship. Now, I think for others, not necessarily always the different generations, but I think for all of us, the lack of commitment arises out of a feeling of instability, mistrust, and the inability to leave one's comfort zone or leave one past behind in order to embark on a shared future with somebody. In an uncertain world, safety dominates our priorities, doesn't it? Yet, without trust and risk and vulnerability and commitment to a common future, a true relationship can never evolve. Yeah, my heart goes out to the young people today, because today's dating world, a term has surfaced to describe a relationship that lacks clarity, purpose, and commitment, and more importantly, goals, and one that keeps its adherence into relationship limbo or situation relationship. In other words, for surfacing, living in the gray zone. Making a commitment in the gray zone. Now, it may feel safe for a time, but it's not fulfilling of people's needs and goals for a long-term relationship. Eventually, these relationships end out of practicality, but more often out of emotional distress, feeling of resentment and disconnection, and one or more of the partners feeling emotionally unfulfilled. So when a relationship has no clear path, it cannot easily maneuver the roadblocks and the stumbling stones of life. You cannot move forward if you have to keep one foot cemented into the past. Well, jumping in with both feet, swimming forward, especially into uncertain, unsafe futures, has stalled for Jesus' disciples also. In the aftermath of Jesus' crucifixion. You see, even in the aftermath of his resurrection, treading water is murky. It's a sea of gray, if you would. The disciples, even after encountering Jesus in a locked room, remained uncertain about what to do next. Like Jesus' own gray zone, in which he appeared resurrection and not yet not ascended to the Father, the disciples too existed in that kind of muddled state, if you would. Unsure how to proceed, yet unsuccessful going back to the life that they once led. You know, like fishermen. But the scripture today, we see them floundering about in their boat trying to catch a load of fish. Seven of them. Now, four are missing from this encounter. I don't know exactly why, but the ones that were there included Simon Peter and had attempted to go back to his former livelihood. He said in scripture, I'm going fishing. And catching fish for a living is sometimes very limited in success. Now, if you think the disciples had a hard time grasping things when Jesus was alive and their mission was not in motion, it's not surprising that it takes a multitude of visitations by Jesus, you know, to get them back on the missional path. But as we know, good things in Scripture comes in threes. And this third encounter with Jesus will get them back in line. He does so by challenging their commitment. In this very single moment, Jesus will solidify and clarify their purpose by making them defined and redeclared in their relationship to Him. Jesus needs them to understand that the mission of His disciples and what they must undertake for Him is just not another occupation. It's not a simple situational ship, if you would, that can easily dissolve in Jesus' absence or weaken when things get tough. No, no. He needs them to stick with the program, to remain in the relationship, a committed, deep, meaning relationship with Him that'll continue to permeate their entire identity and propel them into a new future. Now, this third encounter with Jesus is a kind of a recommitment ceremony, if you would, in which the past is rewound and their vows are renewed. For Jesus said to them one time before, follow Me. Now the call is revisited. And just as Jesus bid them to cast their nets to the right side in order to catch their fill of fish, in the original call to discipleship, Jesus repeats this miracle again here, catching not only fish, but their undivided attention. Now, Simon Peter, as we know, is the undeniable leader of the pack. Jesus' inner posse, if you would. And he immediately recognizes this, and he swims ashore while the others drag their catch in their boat behind him. Second, Jesus invites them to break bread with him. He cooked them breakfast, just as he fed others throughout his ministry in meals of bread and fish. Here too, he will re-nourish them with energy of his presence and purpose. Now, I don't think it's very insignificant that he asked them to bring something to catch over here. You know, he cooking for them, but he only cooked enough for the immediate thing. But when he seen they had all this other fish, hey, bring it over here so I can cook more fish for more, so that we can have a covenant celebration in which both the disciples and Jesus might commit to being a part of the mission of the Lord Jesus. So after the meal was over, the recommitment vows would begin. I love this. Jesus addresses his prodigal leader, fisher of men, as we know as Peter, the stable rock, by using his original name. He said, Simon, son of John. And the commitment vows begin. Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these? More than these? Simon was thinking. Such a small phrase and yet so important to Peter's relationship with Jesus. Do you love Me and committed to Me, putting Me first in your life and priorities? And can you leave behind your past and commit to the future with Me? Will you love Me with a strength that you reserve for no other and nothing else? Sounds like marriage vows, doesn't it? Will you trust to be My disciple no matter what the future holds? Now, some of us have taken those vows. You know, we need to take those vows seriously. Do you love me? Is one thing. But do you love me more than these? It even means more. Now, we know Peter answers in the affirmative. Three times he answers, sealing the decision of his commitment and his apostleship, his place in Christian history. But why is it so important? Because of what comes next. He said, "Feed my sheep." And with a committed relationship comes responsibility. Being an apostle of Christ, being committed to Him in a covenant relationship, means taking on the mission that God had planned for the world, just as Jesus had when He shared life with them. And sharing life comes of shared responsibility. For Jesus, it means that the mission cannot end with Him, but continue by all of those who love Him and share life with Him. Now, that's really what a relationship is, isn't it? Life shared in the most intimate, important ways, caring for mutual goals, forging on even when life gets tough, where the tough get going, you know, staying in connection even when one partner is absent, being of one body and doing this thing called life together. Now, true relationships are based on deep love, commitment, shared priorities, enable people and communities into space, and give them grace to grow, to reach their best, the most desired potential in life. It means that partners have each other's back when times get tough, isn't it? Encourage each other to move forward when they want to run to safety. Now, that kind of relationship brings out the best in each involved and instills in both an abiding sense of purpose and peace and stability, and more importantly, confidence. You know, confidence in faith is synonymous. But it takes trust, risk, vulnerability, a commitment to make it happen. Discipleship is about relationship, true relationship with Jesus, the Son of God, Savior of your life and my life, and definer of your purpose. Now, this is the first Sunday of the month and when we celebrate Holy Communion, and Jesus calls you to come forward and recommit your life to Him. Question is, will you trust in Him? Will you commit to Him? Will you mold your life to Him? Now, there are challenges of discipleship, and we spend a lot of time with the Lenten series and everything. Discipleship's not easy, we know that, but this is what it means to love Jesus. And Jesus entered His conversation with Peter with two words, not only for Peter, but for us: follow Me. So as we come forward to the communion table this morning, listen to the words that Jesus asked. Do you love Me more than these? If you answer, I do, He will continue to tell you, feed My sheep and follow Me. And now may your path be blessed by the One who is your love, is your purpose, and is your life. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Go now in peace.